Let's talk about one of Britain's biggest miscarriages of justice. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. It's a scandal that stretches back 20 years. It's ruined the lives of hundreds of workers at the UK's state-owned post office who were wrongly accused or convicted of theft and fraud, when actually the real problem was faulty software from a system known as Horizon. More than 200 of them went to prison. It turned lives upside down. Some died without clearing their names. Tom Hedges and Mohammed Rasool were among those affected.
Frankly, it wrecked my life, my family's life, and everybody I know's life. It was the most horrendous thing I have ever been through. I was very lucky in one way. I didn't go bankrupt like a lot of the other people.
I worked for the post office for 27 years, and then I was convicted of false accounting. I had to wear a tag for 3 months and had a suspended sentence for 12 months. I've carried the shame ever since. I refuse to carry it any longer.
Now, 3 years ago, a landmark court ruling cleared some managers, opening the way for more appeals and compensation. But progress has been very slow. Now, amid rising public anger after TV drama about the scandal aired, the government is bringing in a new law to swiftly clear the accused and make payouts. The BBC's Emma Simpson told me the full story.
It started back in 1999 when you had the post office branch network at the turn of the century entering the computer age. So before that, they're on pen and paper and they were having a new computer system for all its accounts. And it was rolled out to something like 19,000 branches. Now, this system called Horizon, it was designed and installed and managed by a Japanese company, Fujitsu. But right from the start, there were problems. It was throwing up lots of errors and bugs and discrepancies. And the sub-postmasters had a contract that made them responsible for any losses. And then over the years, these postmasters were accused of stealing money when all along it was down to a faulty IT system.
And what were the consequences for those postal workers?
There were hundreds of prosecutions and convictions, about, you know, one a week at some point, based on Horizon evidence. And many of those went to jail. You had forced suicides. People lost their homes, their lives absolutely ruined by it. And you had the post office telling submasters when they rang up, "You're the only one. No one else is having problems. No one else can access these electronic accounts apart from you." But it just wasn't true. And it took one really dogged, stubborn former sub-postmaster to pursue it because he wasn't prepared to accept the losses. And he started a campaign to get justice. Right the way along, the post office kept denying it all, saying Horizon was robust. So they went to court in a group action and the campaigners won. I mean, you're now talking sort of 2019, 2020 that paved the way then for the convictions to be overturned. But there's only been 93 so far. And then, of course, you still have several thousand more who had losses, financial losses, who weren't actually prosecuted.
So did the government do anything at the time for those postal workers to address this?
Compensation is getting out the door, but the campaigners say it's all taking too long. And then, of course, this public inquiry is tasked with trying to get to the bottom of it. So it's been quietly doing its work. It's entering its third year now, and it's been slowly working its way up the chain of command. And I think there's going to be an awful lot more interest in it now.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Emma Simpson, for joining us on Marketplace.
A pleasure.
OK, let's do the numbers. The price of Bitcoin has pared back its losses after the Securities and Exchange Commission did, in fact, greenlight the first ever Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. Those funds are due to debut this morning. Elsewhere, European and Asian stocks are broadly up. Now, Taiwan votes this weekend in a presidential election, and the consequences for Asia's eighth largest economy could be dramatic, as the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports.
This presidential election in Taiwan is really being fought over one issue, and that is what sort of relationship Taiwan should have with China, not just politically, but economically. So the opposition Kuomintang, or KMT, well, their candidate says Taiwan needs much better relations with China. And they are the party to achieve that. Over the last 2 or 3 years, Taiwan's exports to China have fallen by more than a quarter, and that's been a massive drag on the economy here. The KMT says we can rebuild relations with Beijing, and in that way, exports will start to grow again, and that will help to boost economic development here, economic growth, but also wages and job prospects for younger Taiwanese people. The ruling DPP, or Democratic Progressive Party, which has been in power here for the last 8 years, says exactly the opposite. It says it's over-dependence on China's economy that is the problem, because that allows Beijing to use that dependence as a weapon to put pressure on Taiwan. And that's exactly what Beijing has been doing, they say, over the last 2 years, sanctioning different Taiwanese companies and business people. They want to see Taiwan companies diversify to other places, to Southeast Asia and to new markets in India and Africa. The problem with that is over the last 3 decades, Taiwan businesses have become massively dependent on China's market. Not only that, they are very, very comfortable doing business there. They speak the same language and share much of the same culture. And if you talk to them, they will say, look, going to India or Africa is all very well, but there's no way that those markets are going to replace what Taiwan currently has in mainland China.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes reporting. And finally, in Austria, an heiress is setting up a group of citizens to decide how to give away much of her fortune. Marlene Engelhorn, who lives in Vienna, has sent out invitations to 10,000 members of the public. 50 will be chosen to help work out how more than $21 million should be redistributed. Hit me up. I might have some ideas. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.